to Ruth, chapter number 1. Right before you get to 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, right before 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you should have the book of Ruth. Ruth, chapter number 1 is where I'm going to be. Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." He and his wife and his two sons. Now, folks, no doubt having to endure something as severe as a famine as part of their external environment caused the people of Israel in that day some inside turmoil, amen? You know, now many of you know that I love food. I love to eat, although you can't tell by looking at me. And I can't even imagine having to go through something like that so severe. But those of us that are living today, where we live today, we might not have to be dealing with things such as a famine. But I do know this. I know this for sure. Each one of us in this world will be dealing with something on the outside. Jesus said, "In this world, ye shall have what? Tribulation." He said, "You're going to have tribulation. If it's not in the form of a natural disaster like a hurricane in Florida, it's going to be a problem that you have at home, maybe with your spouse, maybe with your kids. It's going to be something at your work. It's going to be something at school. It's going to be with your neighbor. It's going to be with your friends. Something is always happening in our lives externally that will require a response from you internally. It's always going to happen. The question at hand has always been this. It's been, how will a person respond internally to what's happening externally? How do you respond correctly on the inside to what's happening on the outside? Number one is this, and that is by refraining from making decisions that are contrary to God's word. During this tough trial of a famine being present in the land of Israel, the focus is on one family, a family in Bethlehem. As we read, Elimelech made a decision to take his wife and take his two sons out of God's promised land to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now, Moab is a place that God's word had forbidden his people to go. This was because when Israel left the wilderness in order to go to Canaan, to go to their promised land, earlier, Moab had refused to give them bread and water. He refused to give them the basic necessities of physical life. It was also Balak, you might remember, the king of Moab, that hired Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam succeeded in getting the people to fornicate with the Moabites and to take up the idolatrous practices and worship of Baal. Again, not only affecting their physical life, but also causing damage to their spiritual life. When God instructs in Scripture not to do something, it's important for us to remember that it's for good reason. Twice in the Bible is very specific that the Moabites were supposed to be separate from Israel. Twice in the Bible, God refers to the Moabites by saying this. He says, "Moab is my washpot." Now, folks, that's not a compliment. Back in Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 1, it's interesting that the word sojourn, it says they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. It's interesting that the word sojourn means this. It means to be a guest, to be a guest. But as you read a few verses later, if you look at the end of verse number 4, look with me at the end of verse number 4. At the end of verse number 4, it tells us that that family dwelt in Moab for at least how many years? For at least 10 years. For at least 10 years. I don't know about you, but I know guests, when we have guests, you know, they usually stay for a night or they stay for a week or they stay for a couple weeks. Maybe they might stay for a month. I know that when I used to go and visit my relatives overseas in Italy, you know, with it being such a long journey, we might stay there for a couple months over the summertime. But that's usually what you expect for a guest. But here, they went to sojourn for a period of 10 years. How would you like it if somebody sojourned in your house for 10 years? I think they would have overstayed their welcome. Elimelech's family did this. They made a decision that was contrary to God's word. During this 10-year time frame in Moab, Elimelech and his two sons made a decision to take unto themselves foreign wives. Look with me at verse number 4 once again. It says, "And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. They took to themselves foreign wives. Again, something that had been forbidden by God's law. This was the second decision that we've seen in just 4 verses in chapter number 1 that this family made that was contrary to God's teaching. This story began with the family making an internal decision to run to Moab to escape the famine that they were sure would cause their untimely deaths. But what was so ironic about it was this, is that the men's time in Moab actually produced their death. Look with me at verse number 3. It says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he what? Died. And she was left and her two sons." Go to verse 5. And it says, "And Mahlon and Chilion," that's the two sons, "they what? Died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and also her husband." You know, there's a verse on the PowerPoint that says this. It says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man." But it says, "But the end thereof are the ways of death." Ways of death. So to recap, what we see is we see this. We see a decision. It might seem right. A decision might seem right to you. But if it's not in agreement with God's word, it's wrong. They made two decisions that were not in agreement with God's word. And they were clearly wrong. They might have seemed right to them, but they were wrong according to God's word. You know, to recap, what we see is we see an external circumstance that happens in their land, a famine. It's followed by an internal response by a family. And this response led to a string of decisions that were contrary to God's word. Even today, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful not to let our external environment control our inner state to the point that we forget who we are in Christ. We forget what we've learned from God's word, how to handle problems that come our way. We've got to be careful, man, that we don't get spastic, we don't get frenzied, we don't get stressed, you know, we don't get everybody else around us all worked up. Our problems now become your problems, our problems become their problems. You know, our external environment has affected our internal state so much to the point that, man, we just become a basket case. We're like the Bible says, we're like a city with broken down walls. You know, we forget the truth of God's word. We forget who we are in Christ. We forget what God's word says. We forget that he's given us his spirit to guide us. We forget these things. We forget it. And you might say, "Pastor Rich, what can I do? What can I do so I don't let the things that are going on the outside affect my internal state, that I don't respond right and I respond wrong, contrary to the word of God? You know, so I don't flip out, so I don't lose control, so I don't get discouraged. What do I do? I don't want to ill affect others. I want to make sure that I'm doing things right according to God's word." Get your comfort from the scriptures. Look with me, hold your place and Ruth will come right back, and look with me at Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15. The first thing that you do is this. If you don't want to make decisions that are contrary to God's word, is just spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time with the Lord in his word, and you can get comfort from God's scriptures. In Romans chapter number 15, look with me at verse number 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime in the past were written for our" what? "Learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope," that we might have hope. You know, after you let the scriptures comfort you, after you let the scriptures teach you, another good thing is this, and that's just let the peace of God just rule your heart. Just let the peace of God rule your heart. You're in Romans right now. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at the verse 33. First Corinthians 14:33, it says this. It says, for God is not the author of what? He's not the author of confusion, of frenziness and of stress and all this stuff. God's not the author of that. But he's the author of what? Peace. As in all the churches of the saints. Look with me a little further to the right. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Go to verse number 9. Paul writes, those things which ye have both learned, again, what we're learning from the Scriptures, and received and heard and seen in me do. And he says this, and the God of what? Peace. Shall be with you. Go one more book to the right, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3:15 says this. It says, and let the what? Peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How can you respond correctly on the inside to what's happening on the outside? Number one, by refraining from making decisions that are contrary to God's Word. God's Word is for our learning, to give us patience, to give us comfort, to give us peace. Number two, by refusing to head in the wrong direction. Decisions usually start in our heart. They start in our mind. Jesus taught that. But usually, after they fester in our mind for a while, they produce what? Action. They produce action. And if you're neglecting to make decisions according to what you're taught in God's Word, it won't take long before those decisions will prompt you in the wrong direction to an ungodly action. For example, look with me back at the book of Ruth, in Ruth chapter number 1. Now with her husband and her sons dead, Naomi, Elimelech's wife, she now hears of the good news from back home. And guess what? The famine is over. And she's decided it's time to go back to Bethlehem. Look at verse number 6. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. I guess I better get there too. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the day of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. It appears that Naomi actually starts to head back home to Bethlehem and leaving Moab, and it looks like she's actually going to do the return trip with her two daughters-in-law. Look at me at verse number 7. It says, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, that's Moab, and her two daughters-in-law, and what are the next two words? With her. And it says, and they, that's a key word, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi is headed in the right direction. She is taking also her two pagan daughter-in-laws with her to the promised land of the God of Israel. But all of a sudden, in the very next verse, Naomi changes her mind. And instead of encouraging her daughters-in-law to head to Bethlehem, to go in the right direction, she encourages them to go in the wrong direction. She encourages them to go back to Moab where they would still worship their pagan gods. Look with me at verse number 8. It says, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. She instructs them to go back. Now, to me, obviously, Naomi had spent too much time in that foreign land, and her judgment and her advice were very skewed. You know, she was out of touch with the Lord for over 10 years in a foreign land, a place that God had instructed her not to go. And that's dangerous ground, folks. When you're out of touch with the Lord, if you're not communing with God daily through prayer, through reading your Bible, through letting Christ live through you each and every day, You know, and instead, you filled those time slots in your day. You filled your prayer time. You filled your Bible reading time. You filled the time that you're just enjoying fellowshipping with God. If you fill those things with things that are foreign to God, you know, foreign to Christ in you, you fill those things with things like ungodly music, you know, with TV and movies that portray ungodly behavior as being acceptable, that promote hate and violence and fornication and manipulation and deception and gossip. Man, if you're feeding all that stuff into your mind continually instead of spending time being in tune with God, sooner or later you're going to be walking, if not already, on dangerous ground. Because the longer you fill your mind and you fill your time with those things, you know that you are going to become passive towards the things of God. That's what happens. You're going to become passive toward the things of God because you filled up all your time with these ungodly things. And that's, I believe, what was the case here with Naomi. She spent 10 years away from the Lord and away from the things of the Lord. Man, and she couldn't think straight. Her judgment, her advice was so skewed. She told them to stay and worship her pagan gods there, she mentions to them. Man, what terrible advice. You know, when decision time comes, when you have a crucial decision to make in your life, you don't want to head in the wrong direction. You want to make sure that you're clearly in tune with the Lord. You want to make sure you're clearly in tune with what God's word is saying. As the case here, like we said, you know, in the very next verse, if you look with me a few verses down in verse number 15, one of the daughters-in-law, Orpah, she actually takes Naomi's advice. And she returns back. She's headed in the right direction. She's on her way to Bethlehem. But all of a sudden, when they're walking to Bethlehem and Naomi gives her that terrible advice, Orpah makes a about face, and now she's heading back in the wrong direction, back to the pagan gods that are in Moab. If you look with me at verse 15, that's exactly what it tells us. It says, "And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law," this is Naomi speaking to Ruth, and Naomi tells Ruth, she goes, "Behold, thy sister-in-law," that's Orpah, "is gone where? Back unto her people and unto her" what? "Gods." And then not only does Naomi recap what Orpah did, look what she tells her to do at the very end of the verse. She says, "Guess what, Ruth? You should also return after your sister-in-law." From this point on, Orpah drops from the pages of history. She drops from the pages of Scripture, and we never hear from this woman again. Never hear from her again. She headed in the wrong direction that took her away from the one true God, and she fades away from the pages of history, from the Bible forever. She takes steps backwards instead of taking a step forward because of the decision that she made to head in the wrong direction. To head in the wrong direction. You know, I was thinking about this a little bit, and I was thinking, what a contrast between her and Ruth. Ruth, the other daughter-in-law, begged Naomi. I can just imagine Ruth dropping down to her knees and literally begging Naomi. Although Naomi was telling her to head in the wrong direction, Ruth refused. And instead, she's begging Naomi to please take her back with her to the one true God. She wanted to make sure that she was heading in the right direction. Look with me at verse number 18. It says this. I love it. I love this passage. I wish I had more time to read it, but I'm running out of time. It says in verse number 18, this is Naomi, and she's looking at Ruth. And Naomi says this. She goes, when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go where? With her. Then she left speaking unto her. That phrase, "she left speaking unto her," means that she couldn't talk her out of it. She just quit talking. She was trying to talk her out of going with her to Bethlehem. And she finally gave up because it said Ruth was steadfast. And she was willing to go in the right direction. And there was nothing that was going to stop her from doing that, to following after the Lord. That's exactly what she was supposed to do. She refused to head in the wrong direction. There's a slide on the PowerPoint screen. It says this in Psalm 18:30. It says, "As for God, His way is" what? "Perfect." The word of the Lord, we're talking about not making decisions contrary to the Bible. The word of the Lord is what? It's tried. It's true. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. How do you respond correctly on the inside to what's happening on the outside? Number one, as we said, refrain from making decisions that are contrary to God's word. Number two, refuse to head in the wrong direction. And quickly, number three is this, by rejecting a bitter disposition. By rejecting a bitter disposition. Who cares what's going on around you? But if it starts affecting you on the inside to where you have a bitter disposition, you are in trouble. Sometimes you can look at the face of somebody, you can look at someone's face, and you can tell that they're having a bad day, can't you? Some of our people are so perceptive. I was having a bad day a couple weeks ago, and somebody in my life group comes up to me, and they go, "How are you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm doing great today." He says, "No, you're not." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I can see it in your eyes." He goes, "You're not having a bad day." Sometimes you can look at somebody's face and you can tell that they're having a bad day. Look at the picture of this guy behind me. Bad day? How would you like a soccer ball squashed in your face like that? Bad day, huh? Look at this next picture. Bad day? That one got an awe, though. Imagine, how many of you have ever had a bad day? How many of you have ever had a bad year? You'll say, "Man, I've had a rough year. I've had rough years." Don't just imagine this. Imagine not having just a bad day. Imagine not having a bad year, but imagine having a bad decade, a bad 10 years. 10 years can make a big difference in your attitude and in your appearance. Look with me at verse number 19 in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, verse number 19. Ruth here, she hears the whispers, she hears the gossip. Verse number 19, it says, "So they two," that's Ruth and Naomi, "they went until they came to Bethlehem." There they've arrived. And then it continues to say, "And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them." They caused quite a stir. "And they said, 'Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi?'" Naomi responds to that question with an answer. She makes an announcement, and look what her answer is. It's in verse number 20. She said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." The name Naomi means this. It means pleasant. The word Mara, the name Mara, means bitter. She possessed, after this lady went from being a pleasant person in Bethlehem, before the famine, but because of her outward circumstances, she went from being a pleasant person in Bethlehem to coming back to Bethlehem 10 years later, wanting to be called bitter. She possessed a whole new disposition, and it was sour grapes. The end of verse number 20, as we just read, points to who she thinks is the cause of all of her problems. She's blaming God for her troubles. She's having a pity party. And it's so easy when you're down, when you're discouraged, to start pointing fingers. It's God's fault. It's the boss's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the school's fault. If that school didn't have those rules, I wouldn't have gotten in trouble. It's my parents' fault. They're the ones that made the decision, not me. It's so easy when things are not going your way to blame someone else. But you will drive yourself crazy. You will drive yourself crazy if you always try to blame someone else for your problems instead of just accepting personal responsibility for your own actions. If you break a rule at school or you break a rule at work, accept personal responsibility. If you break something that God has asked you not to do in Scripture and you've broken it, admit it. Admit it to the Lord. Just admit it. Just admit it. You know, I was reading this, and it just made such an impact on me as I was reading this passage in Scripture. And in Scripture, it says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, I have the verse on the screen for you. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." It's not something physical, but it's these three things. Say it with me. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Regardless of what's happening on the outside, the physical, nothing can take away what you have in Christ. on the inside. Nothing can rob you of your joy unless you let it rob you of your joy. We can respond correctly on the inside to what's happening on the outside. We have a choice to be bitter or to be better. We can hold grudges and we can blame God and we can blame others, or we can learn how to do better the next time that we face a crisis in our life from what we have learned in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. In an attitude of prayer, you might be here this evening, and you might say, Pastor Rich, I think I might be guilty of what you've mentioned this evening and maybe spending a little bit too much time being out of tune with the Lord. You know, I think maybe I've filled a lot of my time slots throughout the day with things besides prayer, besides reading my Bible, besides just being in communion with God and His Spirit throughout my day. I filled all those time slots with other things. And Lord, I really need to get back in line with you and with your word. Lord, I need to do that because I know that the further that I'm away from you, the further that I'm away from your word, Lord, the more passive I'm going to become to the things of God. And Lord, the more decisions that I'm going to make contrary to God. So Lord, you be praying and ask the Lord to work on your heart this evening, that you wouldn't be passive towards him and the things of God, but you would be the opposite. You would be zealous towards the things of God. Your heart would be lit on fire for God. You would have a desire and a craving each day in your life to spend time with him in prayer, in the reading of his word, in communion and fellowship with him throughout the day. You make a desire not to be passive, but to be zealous for God, to be in his word, to always go in his direction, to go in God's way. Regardless of what's happening on the outside, don't let it affect you on the inside to where you have a bitter disposition. Make a decision in your heart this evening not to be bitter, but to be better because of what you've learned from God's word, what you've learned about his patience, his comfort, his peace. Make that decision in your heart starting today. I'm going to spend more time with God. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this message from the book of Ruth. Lord, how practical this is that you've given us your word and you've said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is profitable. And Lord, we've learned something this morning about this family and Lord, the decisions that they've made. And Lord, what we can avoid. We don't want to repeat past mistakes, but Lord, you said in Romans 15:4 that you've given us scriptures for our learning. What was written aforetime has been for our learning. Lord, may we learn from the past mistakes and not repeat those, but may we have a desire in our heart to live for you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. At this time, you can stand in attitude of prayer and stand to your feet as the music plays. And if you need to speak to someone, you need to pray with someone, don't hesitate. We have men and ladies in here that would love to spend a moment and pray with you about anything that might be going on in your life. So you just come forward if you need to, and someone will pray with you.